Clubhouse. I am Jeff, joined here with my buddy Chris.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Great day for doing a podcast here.
Sitting down, drinking some meat, and hanging out. Hey, last week, my wife and I had a little discussion after we were recording. She made a good point that I think we need to address here. When we were talking about entering meads, I made it a case of like, hey, if you can't taste it, you shouldn't put it on the entry form. There are generally note spots in that entry form where if you've got ingredients that someone might be allergic to, you know, there's that list of the 12 big allergens, like shellfish and peanuts and things like that. If you can't taste peanuts in your mead, but somebody might have an allergy to it,
that could be bad.
There's an extra spot just for notes to say, hey, this may contain peanuts, or, you know, contains peanut related materials. This isn't potential allergen for people because, hey, if I'm a judge and I'm allergic to something,
you'd like to know.
It's good to know. I see a number of people will put that entry in there because they used Super Clear or Casey Dual Fine, whatever, with chitosan. Which is a
shellfish.
It's a shellfish derivative. A lot of beers, including like Guinness, use isinglass, which is it's a derivative of fish's swim bladder.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But
the notes don't count against you, just simply alerting them.
Right. Say, hey, this contains this. That's just good to know. I'm not going to judge you on your allergens.
More than fair.
Right. So that's just a good point that I thought, yeah, we should bring up.
I'm glad she brought it up.
Yes. Yeah. My wife had a great point. I wanted to give her credit for that.
Okay, now I do want to say on this, and we're thankful to Boxes and Barleycorn for their sponsorship for our show.
For sure.
They can provide for all your winemaking, mead making, beer making, cheese, any fermentation needs you have, they can probably help you out. And we highly recommend you take a visit them online. You can connect through our website.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Extensive amounts of supplies. They have their own kits and recipes if you're interested in making a beer or something fun, ciders, wines. My gosh, there's so much there.
And they even have customer appreciation if you're in the area occasionally.
Absolutely. We are not there consistently, but me or Chris might be there at any given month celebration. Have a drink, share a glass with us, give us something to try, and we'll give you some free advice and some thoughts.
Let's use some bars to try.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happy time all around.
So, this is a little bit different. This is one I've been excited about trying.
And I'm looking forward to it, too. Now we're going to have an actual judge for mead competition, Jeff, judging some meads we have here.
I'm going to walk through the process of judging a mead as if I were sitting down and judging at a competition. Now, obviously, we've got meads on the table. I know what they are. I know who made them. It's not completely blind. This isn't perfect. But this is just hey, I'm walking you through the process, and I'm talking you through the process of what happens when I judge and when I'm going through this process. So I'm going to pull up on my computer over here the BJCP mead score sheet that I would be filling out at a generic competition anywhere. Sometimes Valkyrie's Horn or like Mazer Cup, they will have their own special sheets that are a little bit different. But this is the general vibe of what you're going to get when you get a competition. And
it's what's going to happen when you send something in.
Yeah. So Chris, if you would, generally in competitions, I get to know like maybe a honey varietal, maybe like fruit or spice type. And I will hear a carbonation level, sweetness, and strength. So is it carbonated? Does it say the bottle?
It does not say carbonated, but okay. It looks that maybe perhaps have a slight bit of carbonation.
Okay. Sweetness probably isn't indicated either, but I think this one has a final gravity of 139.
Yeah, 1039. Mm-hmm. And it has the ABV of 7.35.
So
it's pretty light on the alcohol content, which means there is some sugar in it.
It sounds like it. I'm going to guess, just guess, that this is going to be a sweet hydromel.
And would you like to know the type of honey?
Yes.
It is a fireweed honey.
Fireweed. It's been a while since I've had one of these.
So this is, I'm going to try here. I'm going to try it with you. Now, I'm not going to judge it. I'm just going to enjoy it with you because I'm not going to pass up the opportunity.
So, yeah, no, we've got a fireweed. It's a
very pale.
Yeah, it's a light straw color. Nice, pretty. There is a little bit of petalance to it. Yeah, it's kind of hazy. I generally look at appearance before I go to bouquet and aroma, even though bouquet aroma is first on the list. And yeah, there's definitely a level of carbonation to it. I think it's petalum. I don't think it's carbonated, but if I swirl it, it lets some stuff out. It's pretty clear, not particularly perfect.
Petalant. You said that word.
Yes.
Describe that word for the people who don't know.
Thank you. Petalant is not like necessarily strongly carbonated, but it has some level of carbonation.
Okay, anything below just actual carbonated drink.
Well,
When does it become carbonated per se, as in pellet?
so carbonated looks like if I'm looking at a glass and it's going to be carbonated, it's going to be a carbonated mead, I'm going to expect to see little streams of bubbles consistently. This has carbonation in it to an extent that if I swirl it, I will release little bubbles.
But only because your
Sometimes,
agitation.
right. Sometimes even a still mead will have a little bit of those released. This is releasing kind of a lot out of swirl.
Or a lot, because I remember Valkyrjorn. Say we had a still mead that wasn't. I opened the bottle, I got a shower.
That's called a gusher. And right above the bouquet part of my sheet, there's a little part for bottle inspection, where it just says, hey, was this appropriate size cap fill level label removed? Blah, blah, blah. You know, most of the time the cellar crew does that. I, as a judge, don't get to say anything about that. I just get a cup. But this is the spot where we would say, hey, your bottle was a gusher.
Yeah, and I had to change my shirt. It just doused me. It was good, don't get me wrong. It was supposed to be still, but it was a lemon and it was good, but it was not still.
Hey guys, stabilize. Potassium sorbate, potassium metabisulfite.
Right.
It's the 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Use it. Anyway, so just looking at appearance, it's not completely clear, but it's very clear. That might be a part of, you know, just this glass. My glasses go through the dishwasher. I don't hand wash to get every last little bit of dust off them, but I'm assuming that this is pretty clear. It's not perfect. It's a nice light color. Let's go for bouquet and aroma. I'm gonna kind of swirl this just a little bit, cover it with my hand, try and tap some of those volatile organics. Honey is light. There's a little bit of like a kind of a floral, acidity, not acidity, but
I get the acid. I don't smell the floral or the alcohol that you do, or the honey you do. I don't smell that per se, so I'm not a judge. So we got.
I'm still on bouquet, so
Okay, that's cool.
slow your roll there, Chris.
Can't, no, if I can't smell, I'm drinking it. So.
I'm not getting anything else out of the bouquet, anything strong or, you know, it's also not got any kind of weird, like off flavors or off smells, I guess I should say, that are like a detractor for it. So going good there. Let's get into the flavor. It's light. It has a very light body. It has a good amount of acidity to it. There's just a little bit of a spice profile on it that I like. It's fireweed, and I like fireweed.
Fireweed's good. I mean, it's got a nice zip to it.
Yeah, it's I would call it more semi-sweet than sweet, to be honest. As light as it is, it does have it, that this is again the balance of like tannin and acid and sweetness, where there's enough sugar to pronounce the fact that this is, you know, a mead without it being really what I would categorize in the sweet domain, even though, you know, the final gravity is not an extensively strong way to categorize stuff. Final gravity is not an extensively strong way to categorize stuff. I've had plenty of stuff like this that is, you know, a final gravity of 1040, and that by rights should be sweet by, you know, the rote definition, but this doesn't taste sweet. This tastes semi-sweet.
Well, this is also a little bit lighter than, well, barely, but yeah, but 1040 is pretty close to where it is.
Right. So yeah, no, those rules are not hard and fast rules. This is all perception. So, this I would say it's a nice semi-sweet. It's got a little bit of spice character to it. It's real light. I would think this is like a kind of a summer afternoon evening kind of drink, really. It's light. It's the body of it is just zippy and easy drinking. I'm not getting any kind of the weird descriptors for like off flavors or things like that. It's a very clean ferment. I'm not getting a lot of yeast character or yeast esters either. So yeah, this is really just this is a light traditional that is showcasing that particular honey, I think, and it's pretty nicely done. So this is another commemorative bottle, the one we drank last week. This was from Nathan Stegman, who, you know, Nathan, really good mead maker. I've enjoyed a bunch of the stuff that he's made before. I'm pretty sure he's taken a medal or two back in the Valkyrie's Horn. Not Valkyrie's Horn. I'm sure he's taken medals in Valkyrie's Horn too, but when we were doing Iron Bee on the last iteration of this podcast, he's taken some medals home from there too. Really talented guy, has a great command of honey, so I'm not surprised that, you know, we had this nice presentation here. And with that, I think we're ready for entry number two.
So, in entry number two, we're actually getting a blueberry mead, a little higher in the alcohol. I mean, it's a 14%er.
Okay, so that's that could be standard, that could be sack. What kind of in the borderline here? And it looks like it's still there. Might be again. This is where you can get some bubbles on a still mead, and that's still considered still, even if there's just a little bit in the pouring salt in there.
But
Does it give any kind of indication whether it's like semi-sweet or sweet on the
nope,
bottle?
it has a dragon on the bottle. Other than that, I got nothing.
Well, that's badass.
I love
That
dragons, but I didn't get any information.
doesn't tell us anything.
Yeah,
And it doesn't list the variety of honey with it either, does it?
no.
So, just looking at the appearance here, it is kind of a nice garnet ruby color. I would call it bright red, pretty clear. Again, still mead. There's no bubbles when I swirl it.
I kind of prefer still meats personally.
It's hit or miss. I don't like a lot of the petalled meats. I want you to go one way or the other. I've had some delicious, delightful carbonated meats. I've had a lot of really good still meats.
You got a lot more meats than I have, though.
True. One way or the other, I kind of want you to commit. I don't want you to go halfway and do the petal thing, you know?
Yeah.
I just feel like
Jump in or don't.
I feel like the carbonation could have been better. Anytime I've had a petal that I liked, carbonation should have been more. But that's me, and that's my perception. Anyway, so taking a look at this now, as far as sensory bouquet or aroma, yeah, there's honey. I'm getting like a warmth of alcohol from it, and at 14%, I'm not surprised there's a little bit of warmth of alcohol from that.
I actually get the honey off. I can smell the honey on this one. Couldn't on the other one. I couldn't on this one.
Berries are lighter than the honey. That's not necessarily a bad thing. The blueberry is not that like pungent of a fruit.
And
You
blueberry is a very common mead flavoring.
it's a you know it's a popular mead flavoring for a reason. It's a nice
Good.
mead flavoring, but when you go to the grocery store, we were talking about, I think it was tangerines,
Yeah.
like that the smell of tangerines, you
No,
just walk in.
it was nectarines.
Nectarines, thank you,
Nectarines, that was
thank
it,
you.
yeah.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago, man. I don't remember that.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, no, when you we walk past a pallet of nectarines at like the farmer's market or Costco or whatever, like you smell that and you go, oh hell yeah.
Yeah.
You walk past a pallet of blueberries, do you smell anything?
Yeah.
Usually not. So the blueberry is not as pungent. That's okay with me. I'm not that bothered by it. As far as like fruity esters, maybe a little. It's not like a particularly strong or funky yeasty kind of add there. The honey and the little alcohol warmth and like a companion note of the fruit is what I'm getting. Now that's just fine with me.
Now, is smelling yeast a bad thing when you're judging a meat?
So what I was specifically talking about there was not necessarily smelling the yeast itself, but smelling the esters of yeast. The esters are kind of like a side thing that is also added in the fermentation. Those usually present as kind of a weird, fruity, kind of interesting smell. For example, you know, the classic Hefeweizen beer style has a weird yeast character to it that gives it clove and bubblegum and banana flavors.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that,
Yeah.
so that's all new.
It's wild, but those are just like little companion things that happen as the yeast is metabolizing sugar. It also creates these weird esters that are fruity in flavor or fun and interesting and add a little bit more.
And that's what you were looking for. It wasn't yeast per se,
Right, it's
it was esters.
the stuff that the yeast also made along with the alcohol.
Okay.
Tasting, smelling the yeast itself, yeah, that's a detraction because that just means it's a young mead. Probably needs a little more time.
Okay.
Yeah, you should.
And is it just, do you need more time to sit and age, or
Yeah,
generally?
usually it just yeah, it's a little green. It needs time to come up onto its own and be its best.
Okay.
So you know, that's not uncommon for some competitions to see something that like, hey, I needed to get it to the competition in time when it probably you should have entered it, you know, a month or two later.
Or even a year later.
Right. Maybe. Sometimes light meads don't age very well. Sometimes, you know, meads age very well, especially the high ABV ones. Anyway, let's get into flavor.
I kind of like this one.
Yeah, this is in that sweet tart range that I was talking about a couple weeks back, where
It hits the back top of the mouth a little bit, and the back of the tongue.
the acid's kind of high, the sweetness is kind of high. And you know, like I said, sometimes this is a derided style, sometimes this is an appreciated style. This is a nice one.
This
I
was a good
like
one, yeah.
this. I like this very well. It has a good acid punch. I'm pretty sure this was fermented on the skins of the blueberries because there's a decent amount of tannin. It's not like it's not as strong as the acid and the sweetness, but it's there. I can taste it. I can feel it. The balance is very nice. It's smooth. It's got a decent body to it. At 14%, it's not like strong. It's not like thick and syrupy. It has a lightness to it, but it's also like not as viscous as I would think of as like a 14% red wine, for example. It's a little lighter than that. It's also a little bit more like acidic and I don't want to say playful, but it's on the tongue and it moves, over the palate easier than a red wine does
Well, I can feel it on the
by
front.
comparison.
And as I swallow, it doesn't stick so much in the middle. It kind of hits the sides and the back more in the, as it's passing over. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not, it's not unpleasant. It's just that's how I feel it on the tongue.
Yeah, and it has kind of a nice biting finish to it. Like I don't want to say it's crisp. There's a little bit of a lingering flavor. I think that's part of the tannin quality too. But yeah, it's got a good finish to it. It's light, it's fun. I like it quite a lot.
Good. Well, and when you said these, you see the labels on the things, you kind of know where they're from and all. Actually, I got one here that you can't see the label on.
That's true. So before we move on, though, I just want to throw out, excuse me, chewing some bread to clear my palate. This is a blueberry mead by Apgar Meadery out of they're in Wisconsin. I forget exactly where. I think it's a suburb of Seattle. I could be wrong, but real fun meadery. I've been subscribing to them a couple of years now, and yeah, I like these guys pretty well. This one was kind of sitting on the back shelf and went, oh, I have not had this one, or I'm not sure I've had many of their blueberries actually. So this one was a good one for us to jump in and do a judge on.
It's a good meat. I mean, again, it's not necessarily light, but it's definitely not heavy.
Right.
It's kind of has a solid fix on the middle ground in there, a good middle ground in there.
And this is the kind of thing I could see really enjoying with like dessert. A chocolate cake with this. Hell yeah.
Something with a strong, pungent taste with it, because it will stand on its own even without.
Or any kind of like pie, I would say.
I would think a stronger flavor pie, like a heavily spiced or flavored pie, or like a brownie or fudge something,
Brownie
because it
fudge.
will. I think that the strongness in the back of the in the mouth and feeling
Yeah.
would go well with that.
I'm thinking, let me say this, not necessarily fruit pie, but like a French silk pie, a cream pie, or like a pecan pie, even
Oh
a
yeah,
beef
that'd
one.
be good. Be good.
Yeah.
All right. So,
So let me
yeah. See, I'm gonna make you drink more meat. That's
prepare myself for the next round.
Now, this bottle has no markings.
Oh.
I don't know where it came from. Don't know where I got it.
How did it end up on my flight then if we don't know what number or entry
There's zero on this bottle.
it is?
I mean, there's no sticker. There's no nothing. I have no idea what.
That's not true. It's a Sam Adams bottle. We can
Well,
see his signature on the
I am
bottle.
almost 100% sure this is not Sam Adams anything.
No, I don't think so either.
And if Sam Adams had anything like this, he never let anybody else know about it. But here we go. And this is an absolute mystery. I have no idea what this was made from. It ended up in my pile of bottles of things I'd like to try. And I brought it here on to let you judge this to see what heck you get out of it.
This is just fun, and this is the kind of thing that as a round three on meat entries, I'm not opposed to this at all, actually. So, just looking at this appearance wise first, it's cloudy. It's got a little bit of haze to it. I'm not sure if that's a chill haze or if that's just like it hasn't had time to settle. From what you've told me, it probably has had plenty of time. It's been in your box of meats or cabinet of meats for a while.
Yeah, it's been there for at least several months. I don't know how long it's been there. I mean, despite the amount of alcohol I have in my house is just almost inversely proportional to how much I drink. I don't drink as much as I will literally buy a bottle. Oh, that looks like something cool to drink sometime, and it's still in my case after a year.
This is the thing that I have with Sheila and I will go to Total Wine and they have the little tasters and oh here's this nice Spanish one. I'm like, oh, we find one of the four or five in the flight that we like. It's like, oh, okay, well this is only $16. We should get a bottle of this. And then it sits on our fridge for literally months while we find a reason and a time to drink it.
Yeah, that. And I found a kitty cat shaped bottle in the back of my shelving. I'm sitting here, I don't can't remember how old this is, but I'm gonna drink it. So
So, Just doing a little bit of detective work here as I'm going through it. Yeah, we got a little bit of haze to it. It's a light color, kind of a straw gold.
Kind of light straw.
I wouldn't call it amber. The opacity of it is adding a level of darkness. It's not carbonated. It's still, but there's you can kick some bubbles up if you swirl it. If I look at the
Must swirl harder
glass,
than I do. You must be swirling harder than I do, because I can't get bubbles at all.
I'm not getting any legs or much sheeting on the glass. It looks pretty
Explain
light.
legs and cheating.
Yeah, so legs, when you sometimes you hear wine snobs especially say, hey, this has some real sexy legs to it. Sounds
I
weird.
mean, my black and white I put in competition, they said it had legs.
Yeah.
And I never really understood that.
Generally speaking, if you've got a glass of wine, you swirl it like this, you'll see remnants of liquid on the edge that kind of just, it's the wetness of the glass, and it kind of flows down. Higher body, like higher residual sugar or higher alcohol content of meads and wines, will tend to sheet in like little vertical strands.
Like rivulets.
Right. And they call those legs.
Okay.
So,
Is that a good thing, a bad thing, or just a thing?
it's just a thing. It doesn't mean anything. People that are snobby about wine like to go, oh, those are fat legs. This is going to be an alcoholic and thick and high body count. Doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
Doesn't mean anything at all.
Doesn't count against you or for you, it just is.
This is just a thing you can, basically, it's a thing you can say to other people that are into wine to make it sound like you know what you're talking about when you're talking about wine.
Okay,
Yeah.
cool.
So legs can be there, they can be gone, they can be thin, they can be fat. This doesn't have legs. This kind of sheets the glass. It doesn't really linger on the glass either. It kind of
And
flows right down.
the other one you use, is it sheeted? Is that the other word you used
Yeah,
for it?
if it doesn't have those rivulets and it just kind of goes all in one flat plane down from
It's a
the
sheet now.
edge, yeah, it sheets the glass.
Okay.
So it doesn't linger, it doesn't, yeah, no.
This is just showing that you know what you're talking
Right.
about.
So, like I said, context clues wise, if we had legs on this, we could assume it's got a lot of sugar in it or it's got a lot of alcohol on it. Maybe both, maybe one or the other.
Okay.
The absence of those, maybe it does not have a lot of sugar, maybe it does not have a lot of alcohol. It's not a definitive thing. We're just looking for clues right now.
Okay.
So let's get into to
Smell.
bouquet. Yeah, let's see what this smells like.
It's got a kind of a, it's a, okay, it's not overpowering, but it's kind of a strong, distinctive smell.
Yeah.
The clo it's like a very intense grapefruit smell to me. Is that,
It's a little solvent to your phenolic, yeah. It's got
I
a
don't know what you just said.
So solvents are honestly like, you know what nail polish from
Yeah.
crystals. That's the worst solvent smell you can get in a wine. Some types of wine, especially if you're fermenting on like tap water that has chlorine or chloramine, you can get a little bit of that acetone smell to it. A lot more often, you get the kind of heavy alcohols. Like if you go to a science classroom and you have like the alcohol lamps that use methylated alcohol or denatured alcohol, you know what that smells like. That has that. It's the alcohol that smells like you use it to clean up your kitchen cabinets and
Okay,
stuff.
fair.
It's not a enjoyable drinking kind of alcohol. It's a burns your nose if you get too close to it kind of
You put it on
alcohol.
a wound for sterilization, you don't drink
Yeah,
it.
yeah. And even then, it's like you put it on a wound of somebody you don't like.
Yeah, okay, fair.
And the same kind of idea.
One time I gifted a friend a septic pencil.
Oh shit, I remembered using one of those when I used to try that on shaving.
Oh, I
Oh,
hate those things.
those
My
suck.
dad recommended it. I thought he liked me more.
So phenols are kind of in this same kind of weird smells, but those present a little bit differently. So those can smell like Band-Aids of all things. They can smell like smoke or plastic or like cloves again, or the
This smells a little bit more like plastic to me than.
yeah, it has a little bit of a plastic vibe to it.
I mean, I wouldn't have been able to identify until you said that, but.
It's a little bit like chemically, a little bit like I don't think this is a vinegar smell.
It's not vinegar.
No.
I don't smell any vinegar. I mean, I'm not great. I don't have an overactive nose ability, but.
And it doesn't smell like vegetables or like sulfur. Sulfur is another one of those things like you can get from the yeast that's stressed out or it's not working the way it's supposed to.
Okay.
So, those are the bad ones. This is not a pleasant smell.
No,
So,
I don't like this. It's like a slightly melted plastic to me.
yeah, little, yeah, the melty plastic is totally.
Is what I got out of it.
Mm-hmm. aside from the melted plastic, let's see, can we get any kind of honey or other like fruit spice?
Maybe an undercurrent of some kind of spice or something.
Yeah, I get a little sweetness.
I don't get sweetness. I got I it's like a prickly spice smell in the back of it is all I've gotten.
So another thing, another like trick that I've learned as far as refreshing your palate, especially when it comes to smell, we use like bread or crackers or matzo balls or whatever
For tongue.
for taste, to get your smell back after you've been a little bit more overexposed. Smell the crook of your elbow.
Okay. Well, that's not pleasant. It's not bad, it's just not pleasant.
Maybe, you know, take a shower, wash your shirt.
I did that at least a week ago. It's not really okay.
If I didn't give you shit once in a while, we wouldn't
We
know
wouldn't
we
be
were still
friends.
friends.
It's all good.
No, some reason the smell of human skin can kind of like hit reset on some of those smells. So let me try this again.
Okay, I smell it now. You're right. No,
A
that's
little
good. That...
sweetness, a little. There is a spicy thing there.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if it's the same kind of phenols or if it is a legit component, but we'll figure that out in a minute because we're getting into taste.
Oh, that's weird.
That's capsaicin.
That's capsaicin. Oh, I'm not good with capsaicin. This is bad. Oh,
Did you take a hard swallow of that,
a little more than I should have. Oh my goodness.
buddy?
Oh, no, I'm good.
Water.
I won't die, I don't think.
Have some bread.
Yeah, I'll take that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Holy cow. It's not going to hurt me. It's not going to kill me, but I don't like capsaicin per se. But
Well, we figured out
I
what
know that stuff.
spice. It's a spicy mead.
That's fine. This is a Capsomel. I did not know that till just now. Wow. If we're like two steps above bell pepper, I'm done. This is way above that. Oh my goodness.
You know, I'm a medium spice kind of guy, medium to medium high. I don't look at me for you're not gonna find me on hot ones across from Sherman
No,
Ave, and then we'll get to
God, no.
halfway through that and go,
I'll be tapping out about three, two, three. I'm good.
Yeah, no,
Oh.
they we're in Kansas City. They make the bomb here, but
Oh man, yeah. The bomb's a local thing here. Oh,
that
that's
doesn't mean I'm gonna enjoy
no. I mean,
No. You
it.
know, I've seen the interview with those guys, and they were effing amazed that somebody thought to put that on a hot wing, because apparently the idea behind the bomb is just like,
To hurt you.
no, the idea is like it's a you put like a teaspoon of it in an entire pot of chili.
Yeah.
It's just a flavor thing that you add in small amounts to ump the flavor of a big dish. Like in that case, it makes sense.
Yeah, but oh my God, just to pour over hot wings. Oh my God. I mean, I saw the one with Selma Hayek, where the guy that was interviewing her, she made him an honorary Mexican because this stuff was so spicy. And she hits that and says, "Oh, that's just one that and she as a Spanish lady, she goes, that's just designed to hurt you. That's really a Nothing else hit her like that.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about hot sauce. We're here to talk about mead.
Yeah, and
And
it's hot meat.
I'm not gonna have you go toe to toe with me on this one and really analyze the flavor, but this is the last mead we're gonna drink.
Yeah.
And it is a capsaicin. I have, or caps mouth,
Capsmel.
whatever the hell they call this. There are a bunch of different terms for meads that I don't know that we necessarily need, and I think this is one of those. Like, we can call it a caps mouth, that's fine. We can call it a spicy pepper mead, we can call it whatever, but
I'm going to call it uncomfortable.
I'm gonna go ahead and see what I can analyze as far as other flavors other than pepper burn, because pepper burns, but I'm a judge and I'm here to do my job, and by God, I'm gonna try.
I'm just going to sit over on the other side of the table here going, Mate, Mate.
So it's got a medium level sweetness to it. It is, there is, we caught some phenols or some kind of like a little bit of burnt plastic kind of smells, and there is a little bit of that flavor to it too. It feels like the yeast might have been a little bit stressed in this.
How
The
do you know that? I mean,
it's the off
there's a way
flavors.
I'd know it in another drink, probably more easily, but knowing this one.
Those are the off flavors we're getting. The same kind of burnt plastic smells, we also get associated flavors with that. It's kind of like a not exactly plastic, but not exactly like right. It tastes kind of, how do I describe this? And this is the interesting and fun part about judging, is that the part of our brain that is associated with what things taste like and what things smell like is deep in that lizard part of the brain, and the part that has labels for what things are called is on the like the outside wrinkly part with all the little media and gyruses, Jai Rai. God, it's been so long since I've
Yeah.
looked at
Oh,
brain
for
anatomy.
those who don't know me, Jeff here was once a man who studied neurolinguistics. That was the study of how the brain processes language. Again, I've said this before, and I'll probably say it many more times after this. He's one of the smartest guys I know. He has a master's. It's cool. He's an awesome guy. But he, dude.
Neurological anatomy was fascinating to me
Yeah.
once upon a time, and it still is. One of the point I'm trying to make here is there's different parts of the brain. They do very different things. And the part of the brain that like says, hey, this flavor coming in or this smell coming in, that's very different than the part of the brain that puts labels on things. And trying to communicate between those two can be problematic. So like you when I say, hey, this is the kind of thing I could see enjoying on a summer evening. That to me is valid as a judge, is as valid as a judge as I taste something plasticky.
Okay, that's fair.
So
That's fair.
the emotional progression there, yeah, it works. There's so yeah, no, it tastes a little off. There is a something akin to plasticky taste to it, a little bit of that spicy phenol that burns a little bit. And that's not just the capsaicin. It maybe the yeast didn't have enough nutrient, maybe it was highly stressed from too high a temperature outside of its range, whatever.
But it's made an off taste, though.
Right. It has produced an off taste. The fermentation could have been cleaner.
Well, on my side, but I can honestly say my sinuses are clear. And that's all I got out of it. All I really tasted was an uncomfortable level of pain.
Do you think this was one of yours, or this was a capsaicin that somebody else gave you?
I think somebody gave it to me. I have made a capsaicin, a Capsomel, and I made it with actually Costco hot honey. It was like 40, 60, 40 to 60, 40% hot honey, just standard honey in the bucket I made it in. And I actually put a couple of hot peppers. I took all the pith and the seeds out of the peppers. They
Right.
were with a Scotch bonnet and a habanero. And I don't know really the difference. To me, they looked about the same. And I left it in there for 2 days. After a second in secondary, and it was very for the first month or so, it was very nice and warming even to me. I mean, I could drink it and I just felt a warmth in my chest and my belly. And after it sat for more than about the 2 month mark, after 2 months, it started getting hotter to me.
That's one of those interesting interactions where different flavor components can kind of come and go. I made a weird earthy spice combination meat at one point that like when I first tasted it, after it had basically finished the fermentation, I felt like, oh my God, I put way too much fucking clove in this. All I taste is clove, and this is awful. I'm gonna forget about this for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I had a friend come over, like, hey, I'm going to Thanksgiving and I want to bring some mead, and I
What you
don't
got?
can I get a bottle or two? And I'm like, well, sure, what the fuck? And so I was like, okay, so I got some of this, I got some of this. I mean, it's a weird time, bro. I'm kind of between batches, but I've got, a few bottles in the hopper. And I was like, well, this is a weird earthy spice one. He's like, actually, this is great. This tastes like kind of these are like pumpkin spice flavors. I kind of dig this. Yeah, can I take a bottle of this for
Yeah.
family? And like then I tasted it and was like, holy shit, this is great.
Yeah.
The clove
Meat.
is not terrible.
And actually, that is a relevant point of meat making. After you're done, if you taste it directly after you've finished ferment and you've killed the yeast and it's done with that part of the process, that doesn't mean you're done necessarily.
No.
You can add flavors in secondary. After I killed the yeast in my spicy meat that I made, and it was made for a friend who liked that kind of thing, because I don't. But I put the peppers in for a couple of days to make it a little more spicy. I took them out, and for me, that's a horrible long amount of time. For a lot of people, that's a very short time. It is what it is. But over time, and when I first tried it, after that point, it was warming. It was very nice, and it was like a warm hug on the inside. And just 2 months later, it was palatably too hot for me to be comfortable and happy with it.
Well, and I think making a good pepper mead, capsimol, whatever we want to call it, has a few different challenges, and there's a few different approaches to it too. Like the kinds that I enjoy, I feel like the approach of making them is to look at the mead and go, I'm going to add the spicy pepper burning part as an interesting, like tertiary or ancillary part of this entire flavor experience. And yeah, it can be interesting. I made a Frick and Treat mead ages ago. It was a sweet blackberry, and I had half of a Carolina Reaper soaking in it for about 2 or 3 hours. just enough that, you get hit up front with the sweet and the blackberry, and as you swallow, as it goes over your hard palate, you get a little bit of that pepper burn, like, ooh, hey. But it's not enough to go like, ouch, fuck. Sorry, foul language on this podcast. We're adults here. We're talking about making a 21 and over product anyway,
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
So
if you're below 21 or this offends you, I apologize. However, this is alcohol. But what I'm saying
that
is,
said, the other approach I think for making hot pepper meads, and I think that might be the one that the maker of this, whoever that was, whatever reason that was, took, was this is to dare your friends to do something stupid. This is putting da bomb on hot wings.
Yeah, this is pretty spicy. Now, my point about it is aging your mead to a mature level can change everything.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I have, and I'm going to bring it by sometime for you to try it. I mean, I have a chocolate banana that I told you about. I made this with 12 pounds of mashed peeled banana in my bucket, and I weighed it down with 3 pounds of marbles, and at the end of it was still floating. So in the bag floated, and unfortunately did not cause a bucket bomb because it was threatening, because there's a lot of sugar in bananas.
Yes.
And it was from it, it. I had a continuous stream of bubbles coming out of the airlock for 9 straight days.
I remember when you were consulting with me on this one because it was bananas.
Oh, and it was terrifying.
Right. Like, I have never tried anything with bananas because I have seen too many photos of airlocks blown the crap up and like the splatter of banana
Yeah, I
on
thought I was going to
somebody's
have to swing
ceiling.
my ceiling. I really did. It didn't, but I was also putting a 5 pound kettlebell on top of the lid to help hold it down.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. But by that totally, when I first bottled it, after it was done for like after 8 months of fermentation, and it sat there for a lot longer than I meant to, but after I bottled it, and I had the guy, I said, "This isn't bad. It's not great by any stretch. It's not really good by." But he goes, and a friend of mine says, "It's like you're eating a banana and then you wash down with a Yoo-hoo chocolate soda," which wasn't inaccurate.
Okay.
However, now it's older. Significantly older. It's almost it's about almost 6, 7 months older now,
Right.
and it's actually much better. It's much more mellow. It's much more relaxed and much more married in flavor, and it's really good. It's actually I got one of them.
Well, and I don't remember which one it was, but as I was going into the aromas here, I mentioned like covering the glass with my hand and trying to catch some of these volatile organic compounds.
That was the
All the
blueberry.
all these different flavor things and scent things and the components of these are organic and a lot of them are volatile. They play together, they vibe together. There a lot of these meads, not necessarily the commercial ones, but some of the ones that are produced by us, home brewers, they still have yeast in them that may be dead, but they're breaking down, and so there's other compounds that are released from there. It's a weird morass of different things going on in the bottle, even after we've put it into to aging and storage.
Yeah, after we've bottled, corked, and put them away.
If you know what you're doing, usually that ends up with a better product. Sometimes
Not
not.
so much.
I mean, the first, I don't know if I ever told you about this, but the first batch of mead that I ever made, I gave bottles to like my mom, my dad, family, friends, 7 years after that first batch. I was helping my mom clean out her basement or something like that, and I found a bottle
That you gave her.
of the semi or the off dry
Oh my goodness.
first bottle of mead that I made.
Yes.
And I was
This
like,
could this is rolling dice here. You don't know what's going to happen when you open it up.
I opened it and I drank some. I think I drank some on a legacy episode of the show that you guys can find if you're really adventurous and want to sift through hours and hours of content. But I sampled some on the show and it was kind of disappointing. It was just kind of like a flat-ish dry Chardonnay Riesling, kind of white wine-ish flavor and not interesting or exciting. It didn't have a lot going to it because it was my first bottle of mead. It was probably a 12 to 14% with local honey that I didn't know any better, and the ferment was okay, so it didn't have a lot of off flavors, but it wasn't great either. And that, as they say, was about that.
Yeah, and I recently told you a story about a guy who he was retiring from his meadery that he had built on the East Coast, and he pulled up 3 bottles of mead. The only 3 bottles left he had of the first mead he sold commercially off his meadery, and it was 25 years old. And he goes, "It was wonderful after a year of aging before, And they said, this should be great now. And they tried it, and he said, they said it's the best thing they ever drank. But by the same time, that could have gone any other direction.
Oh yeah,
That could
for
have gone
sure.
any other direction. You never know.
No, and I know I've seen a few people on like the home mead making websites and Facebook groups and stuff like that that have they have a plan where they make a batch of mead for their wedding or whatever, and every year they're gonna open a bottle on their anniversary. Like, you were my best man. You served my mead at my wedding. And there is, I know at least one bottle exists of the like semi-sweet oaked traditional that was kind of like this is the main thing. This is the one time only. I'm not repeating this recipe mainly because I hate that yeast and I learned to hate that yeast in that batch and I'm never going to use that again. But that
It was a solid meat.
it was a solid mead. It was just like pulling teeth to get there. But yeah, no, I have one bottle of that. I know at least maybe two. And I have a feeling like 10-year anniversary is coming up next year.
Yeah, there you
We
go.
might crack that open and see how it goes.
Well, good luck with that. I hope you do well for it. But for the next podcast, I'm thinking about now. This may change. I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
I'm ready to. But why don't we talk about things like tannins and sweet tannin,
Yeah.
the flavors to make a balanced mead.
So when we talk about balance, the easy way to talk about balance, and we'll talk about this next time, is triangle approach. There's sweetness, there's tannin, there is acid. Those three things you want, you can go a little one way, a little the other.
But you want to balance and act in those that you're
Right.
comfortable
Exactly.
with.
Those are the three things. And then you can throw in other fun stuff like alcoholicity or whatever. We want the perception of the alcohol in the drink, which is not necessarily the same as the actual alcohol in the drink, or flavor components and things like that. So, yeah.
So that's how, that sounds like a great topic for, future episode.
Yeah. So I think join us in a week and we'll talk about balancing and kind of probably some fine-tuning stuff
Yeah,
too.
maybe some recovery or trying to correct mistakes, because I've had those. You've probably had those.
Well, and not necessarily only correcting mistakes, but we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I gave you that the mead that I was working on for our starter that kind of tasted watery and boring.
Yeah, it
How
has
do
much to
we
it.
take that? It's done with primary. It's ready to go
It's 8%. It's
into
wonderful.
yeah. It's just not.
There's just no real flavor.
Yeah, it's kind of meh. It tastes watery for, hey, an 8% mead that tastes watery. If it just tastes like water, it's still okay. It
It's
doesn't taste
horrible,
like
but we can do more.
alcohol. It doesn't taste bad, but it needs to taste like something,
Yeah.
clearly. So how do we make it taste like something? We'll explore that next week.
Well, Jeff, have a great day. Glad to see you again this week.
Yeah, of course.
And here's to more meat making.
Yeah, absolutely. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.